Hello, friends. I'm Bishop Michael Sheridan. This is the Joy of the Gospel. And today, the Joy of the Gospel for little ones, for children, because my guest is Claudia McAdam. Claudia is an author. She lives in Highlands Ranch, and she writes books for children. At least she wrote one book for children that we're going to talk about today, which won an award from the Colorado Authors League, Best New Book in the children's category. Welcome, Claudia. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Bishop. I sure appreciate this.
Well, but, oh, you're most welcome. Listen, before we get into the book itself, and why don't you spend a few minutes introducing yourself to our listeners? Where you grew up, and maybe sure. Especially how you came to write this book and others books. I know you're a wife, you're a mother, you're a grandmother, but you are an author. That's a lot to do.
That's right. And I was an author before any of those. So I grew up in the Inglewood area, went to All Souls Catholic School grades 1 through 8. So I was one of the first classes to go all the way through the school and graduate in its early days there. And I'm the oldest of 8 children, lifelong Catholic, cradle Catholic, but not terribly well formed. That's not the fault of my parents or my education. I just think it was the culture of the time. The last couple generations, I don't think, have been well formed.
Right.
Yeah. Which I thankfully since then have gotten better formed. And since age 10, I wanted to be an author. So I concentrated on English. I got my degree, my college bachelor's degree in English, and I was being published before I had left college. I have authored 16 published books to date, and they range from kids' picture books through middle grade mysteries to young adult biblical historical fiction, and some works for adults as well. So I've been very blessed to be able to do what I wanted to do from age 10, to have a career doing what I love to do.
You are blessed. Yes. What of all of those you're appealing to a number of age groups there. What's your favorite? For whom do you really like to write?
Well, I have so many varied interests and so many desires to write to different age groups that I don't really have a favorite. I love doing the picture books because I like to tell a story in a limited number of words, to try to get to the meat of the story quickly and hopefully dynamically. I also enjoy writing for the preteen through adult age, which is what I did with my biblical historical fiction book called Awakening. And that book has been read by classes throughout the country. And I have the great fortune of traveling and doing presentations either in person or doing Skype visits with schools all around the country for that particular book. But I'm also working on books for adults. I'm working right now with Father Doug Grandin on a book called Frangelization, F-R-A-N-gelization, how to evangelize friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. Oh. So I have a wide range of interests and always busy, always have new ideas going.
Well, the book that's at the center of the program today, is this your latest book, The Mermaid's Gift?
Last fall, I had two books come out, two children's picture books. One was The Mermaid's Gift, published by Pelican, and the other book was Kristoff and the First Christmas Tree, published by Paraclete Press. And that's a story about Saint Boniface and the legend of how we began bringing evergreen trees into the home at Christmas time. But The Mermaid's Gift and Kristoff and the First Christmas Tree are my two most recent books, yes.
Well, without giving anything away that you don't want to give away about the book, talk about that book, because that's the award winner, right? The Mermaid's
Yes. The Mermaid's Gift won the 2016 Colorado Authors League Award in the children's category. It's a 32-page, hardbound, fully illustrated book. Tracy Van Wagener, who lives in New York City, did the illustrations, and they are absolutely beautiful. They bring the story to life. The story is centered on the Italian island of Burano, and this is centuries ago when a cold winter encircled the island, made the waters frozen so that the fishermen couldn't go out to fish. And my story picks up this legend where two young people, a young couple, Gianni and his fiancée Nicoletta, want to help their starving neighbors. So when the sea starts to thaw, Gianni heads out in his little boat to go fishing, while Nicoletta keeps vigil for him in the church, praying for his safety. While he's out on the sea, a storm tosses the waves, dumps the boat over, and Gianni nearly drowns until a mermaid rescues him and provides a gift that changes the lives of everyone in the tiny village on their island of Burano.
Are we going to hear what that gift is, or do you want to save that for the reading the book?
Well, I can let people in on it. It's the gift of lace. And the people who live on the island of Burano, they're well known for their lace making. It dates back actually 500 years, their lace making abilities. And the industry has died off in recent years because, of course, with modernization, lace isn't handmade anymore. But being able to make lace brought that island a lot of notoriety, or should I say, a lot of positive popularity, and they were well respected for the lace that they could make. And then the industry died off, and in the winter of 1872, when a very, very cold storm hit the island, they actually were starving because the fishermen couldn't fish, and they revived the lace making industry to save the island at that time. So the legend that the people have held for centuries, dating back to the 1500s, is that a mermaid whipped the sea with her tail, forming a length of lace out of the sea foam, and that's how the lace making industry originated on that island. So the story goes.
Now, do you count this as a specifically religious book, Claudia?
You know what? In my writing, what I try to do, especially for children, is create stories that explore the virtues, that build character, and that deepen the faith life of my readers. And it doesn't have to be explicitly religious in order to do that, although there is a religious component in this book in that Nicoletta is very faithful. She's in the church praying, and that's a central part of this story. And she gives thanks when Gianni is rescued and comes back safely to the island. So my goal is to give examples in my writing of people who live lives of virtue, who live with courage, who withstand suffering and bring good out of that suffering. So I think those themes are common to our Catholic faith. And particularly, I have a discussion and activities guide for this book, and it focuses on the cardinal and theological virtues that children can delve into and explore and apply to their own lives. So that's important to me, is to get kids and their parents and teachers and grandparents to look at particular situations through eyes of faith. And that's the type of writing that I like to do. Those are the types of books that I like to present to kids. Books that lift them up, that show them the power of faith, the power of God, and that buoy them to a deeper faith life.
I bet some of our listeners are already wondering how they can get a hold of this book, in bookstores as well as places they could go online.
Right. Bookstores, any bookstore that you go into and you ask for The Mermaid's Gift or any particular title, if they don't have it on their shelves, they can easily order it for you. My books are also available at online retailers like Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. Or my website has links to the publishers of each of my books where they can also be purchased. So people could go to claudiamcadam.com and get information about the books and the discussion guides that are available and where to buy them.
Claudia, I know that we really wanted to focus on this book, The Mermaid's Gift, and it sounds intriguing. That's aimed at what age group?
You know, people ask me that all the time, and I say it can be read to kids of any age. I think it's primarily kindergarten through grade 3.
Ah, okay. The really little ones, yeah.
Young ones, except that it's a good family read. And my vocabulary, I don't stray away from using more complex words, because my opinion is that if kids aren't exposed to bigger, more difficult words, they never learn them. So my books are a little more complex in that fashion. They're good books to be shared as a family or in a classroom.
Are many schools making use of them that you know?
They are. As a matter of fact, there's a school in England. The teacher emailed me and she wanted the discussion and activities guide because her level 4 students, which I found out are 8-year-olds, were reading the book and enjoying it. And she wanted to go deeper with them through the discussion and activities guide. So they are, I know it's being read across the ocean. And locally, I visited one of our local Catholic schools who has a book club of some of the younger students, and they were reading the book in the book club setting. So I went and we discussed the book together. So there are schools that are reading it in that kind of format. And then, there, of course, there's individual readers all around the world.
Claudia, we have a couple of minutes before we have to take a brief break. What, just pick out a couple of the other titles and let our listeners know, what are some of the other books you've written?
Well, I talked a little bit about Awakening, and I'll talk about that here for a moment, if I may.
Sure.
Awakening is a biblical historical fiction, so it's a novel for preteens on up. And it tells the story of a young girl named Ronnie, who is an eighth grader at a Catholic school, and she suffers a devastating loss when her father and her brother are killed trying to save the life of someone that she doesn't deem worthy of their sacrifice. So she's bitter, she's lost her faith, she doesn't understand the concept of sacrifice, even Jesus's sacrifice on the cross. And she, in an argument with her mother, she says, you know, I don't understand why nobody tried to save Jesus, I would have if I was there. Well, she takes ill, and when she awakens, she's in first century Jerusalem 2 days before the crucifixion, and she goes about trying to do the impossible, trying to stop the crucifixion. And in the process, she comes to a deeper faith herself, coming to understand the meaning of the covenant, the meaning of Jesus's sacrificial death on the cross. And it's a story that I wanted to write because I myself, when I read scripture, I do the very Ignatian process of entering into the story myself and becoming one of the characters. And that's what I wanted my readers to be able to do, is to insert themselves into the life of Jesus through the gospel, through this book, and put them there, put themselves in that place and ask themselves, what would I do if I was there at that time? Mm-hmm. So that book has been out since 2009. It continues to be used in classrooms all across the United States. As I said, I've visited from New York to California and Texas to Michigan with groups that have read the book. And I do an hour-long PowerPoint presentation where I take the students through the book after they've read it. And we discuss, for example, the scriptural underpinnings of the work. Scripture is a really important and big part of my life. Went to the Denver Catholic Biblical School, got a degree then at the Augustine Institute, got my master's in theology. So that book has been very important in my life. I also have written, co-authored with John Fielder, Colorado's nature photographer, 3 children's books featuring my text and his photography. So you can see my interests are wide-ranging.
My guest today is Claudia McAdam, and we're going to be back to continue this conversation in just a moment. We're back now. This is Bishop Sheridan, and my guest today is Claudia McAdam. Claudia lives right here in Colorado, in Highlands Ranch, and she's a Catholic author. an author of a number of books for a number of different age groups, ranging from very little ones all the way up into the young adult years. And today we had been talking a bit about her her award-winning book, The Mermaid's Gift, and then some of the other books that that she has written. Now, Claudia, you know, everybody knows, if they've been listening, you are very much a Catholic, and it's your Catholic faith that inspires the themes of your books. They're not necessarily explicitly Catholic in nature. They're not necessarily lives of the saints or anything like that. But these are for a very large audience. These are not just meant for Catholics, but to reach out beyond that, right?
That's exactly right. And speaking of lives of the saints, I spoke earlier about my Christmas book, Christoph and the First Christmas Tree.
Saint Boniface, right?
Yes, and it's a fictional tale based on the legend of Saint Boniface, and in that book I insert a young boy named Christoph, who is an orphan. He's accompanying Saint Boniface through the German countryside on Christmas Eve, when they come upon a group of men worshiping a sacred oak tree, and Saint Boniface says to them, your tree has no power, only our God does, the one true God. And the men say, prove it. And Saint Boniface takes an axe and with one swing chops down this giant oak tree. And in its quake, there is a beautiful fir tree that he then chops down and says to the pagan men, take this home. Let it be a sign of love in your homes. Let it shelter loving gifts and lights of kindness. And so the men are converted. They take the tree home, and that's where we get the legend of how we first started to bring evergreens into the home at Christmas time. So that story appeals to a secular audience to a degree, but is really very Catholic in that it celebrates one of our Catholic saints, the patron saint of Germany, Saint Boniface.
I was wondering, have you heard from or gotten any feedback from either parents who have made use of your books with their children, or the readers themselves, as to how the books have influenced them?
I do hear from some parents and kids that say they really, you know, have learned something, or that they enjoyed them even on a superficial level. Talking about probably the most impactful thing that has happened to me is, I spoke earlier about my novel Awakening, and I was presenting that coincidentally in my alma mater, All Souls, several years ago. The eighth graders had read the book, and I made a presentation about it. And afterwards, some of the students who had the book asked for my autograph on their copies. And the last young man, was a 14-year-old boy who had me autograph his book, looked me in the eye and said, this book changed my life.
Really?
As an author, I don't think you can ask for anything better than that.
No, not at all. Not at all. That's wonderful. Claudia, you mentioned earlier in the program that you are a graduate of the Denver Biblical School and the Augustine Institute. And I think that's an opportunity just to, again, to let our listeners who may not be familiar with those two great programs, just what they are. The Augustine Institute, of course, is up in Denver, and the Denver Biblical School is headquartered there, but is also available at a number of sites here in the Colorado Springs area. Tell us about your experience of those two.
I cannot credit those two institutions more with making me a better Catholic, a more faithful Catholic, a better informed Catholic. I had taken a Bible study course at my home parish and fell in love with sacred scripture and decided I want to know more. So I enrolled in the four-year Denver Catholic Biblical School in 2004. So I did the four-year program and left that program with the degree, the certificate that they give, in 2008. And it opened my eyes to the depth of beauty that our faith has. And, you know, as St. Augustine has said, the Old Testament is hidden in the New, or the New Testament is hidden in the Old, and the Old Testament is revealed in the New.
Right.
And St. Jerome, who said, innocence of Scripture is innocence of Christ. And both of those things are true. And you don't understand that until you read the book and you study it and you have someone guide you through it. Like Acts of the Apostles talks about the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip explaining what he was reading to him, because the eunuch said, "How can I understand this unless someone explains it to me?" And the Denver Catholic Biblical School did wonders for opening my eyes to the beauty of sacred scripture. So many times I'd be reading the Bible during that course and learning things and thinking to myself, why didn't I know this earlier in my life? And very grateful to have that opportunity. And that's one of the reasons why I like to infuse scripture, references to scripture at least, in what I write, so that young people start to develop the love for the spoken, written word early in their life.
And, you know, everything you said about the Denver Biblical School is echoed by so many people in the Colorado Springs area here, and up in Highlands Ranch, and up in Denver. That was their experience also. So we're really grateful to God and to all of those who are making this level of scripture study available to us. There was also the Augustine Institute. That's a little couple steps up, right? That's a graduate school.
It is. It's a graduate program. And when I had finished at the biblical school, I was still thirsting for more knowledge. And so I enrolled at the Augustine Institute and graduated with my master's degree in theology in 2013. So I didn't do, 2 years, four courses at a time type of study. My life didn't allow that. But students can take classes there one at a time. They can do distance education coursework. They could be on campus if they're nearby and want to do that. And it's a great way for me to deepen my understanding of our faith and to be able to learn how to apply that not only in my life, but how to become part of the new evangelization with what I do, with the books that I write, and the presentations that I make. So I'm really grateful to all the wonderful instructors that I had at the Augustine Institute and continue to be involved there. I'll be going to Mass there later today. So it's a big part of my life, both the Biblical School and the Augustine Institute. I can't recommend them highly enough. And if any of your listeners are on the fence about starting a Biblical School class in Colorado Springs this fall, I would say investigate it. Give it a shot. If it's not for you, you don't have to stay with it. But I think that once you get in there, you find that you love it, and it makes a huge difference in one's life.
I agree. Claudia, earlier you said that you decided you wanted to be an author at the age of 10.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Have you ever run into any other 10-year-olds who are saying the same thing? I guess what I'm getting at is since we have the opportunity now, is there any particular advice or thoughts, support that you might give to any young people or even older people who are thinking they might want to do what you're doing, author, either children's books or for other ages?
Sure. The first thing is, I think most authors would agree that you have to read, and most authors, I think, love to read. As a matter of fact, I love to read so much that I have to make sure I cut myself off at some point. Otherwise, that's all I'll do. But if you love to read and you do read, you get a sense of how words sound, how they work together, and especially read what you're interested in writing. So if I'm wanting to write biblical historical fiction, I'll read Francine Rivers' early books that are of that ilk, for example. The other thing would be to study, if you have an opportunity to take courses, to attend writers' conferences, to join a writer's critique group with whom you can share your work. I think all of that is really important. I've been writing professionally and being published for over 30 years, and I still attend webinars, conferences, read books on the craft of writing. I keep learning. I don't think you can ever just say, oh, I know it all and be done with it. It's a continuing process. And then the last thing is, don't give up. I mean, there's lots of rejection. You send your work out and 10 publishers say no, and it just takes the one where what you have written is a good fit and they say yes, and there's no better feeling than that.
Oh, well, very good. Just to repeat before we run out of time, Claudia McAdam, her book, The Mermaid's Gift, as well as other books that she has written, are available in bookstores, online, Amazon, And your website is www.claudiamcadam.com.
That's right.
Is that that's correct?
That's correct.
Okay, Claudia, you have you've mentioned you know several authors, books that have meant something to you, and but is there if you had to think back, is there any one book, any one author that you could cite as perhaps most significant in your life in terms of moving you on to become an author yourself?
Wow, looking all the way back to my childhood, of course, I loved Louisa May Alcott and Little Women. I mean, that book really spoke to me in terms of the writing of it. I didn't understand it as a child, why I was engaged, but it's because the writing is so good. As an adult, there's two writers that I admire because they do what I do only on a grander scale. Linda Sue Park and Jane Yolen, they write picture books all the way through novels. So they span a wide range of readership ages, and they're successful in what they do. So they're kind of my inspiration in terms of what I'm trying to accomplish.
Is it tough to be a person, a woman of deep faith in the publishing writing industry?
You know, so much of our secular world doesn't really want to hear the truth with a capital T. However, I cling to what Shakespeare said, to thine own self be true. And I amend that a little bit to say to thine own faith be true. And I'm not going to compromise my values or the truths of my faith when I write. And that comes through and people appreciate that. Even if they don't have an overt faith life or a belief system, people are already wired to recognize truth and beauty. They have a God-shaped hole in their souls that writing can fill, especially if it's writing that addresses issues of living with virtue or developing good character. So I think that there's an audience out there for that, and my work has proven that even in the secular world, it can be published.
Well, Claudia, this has really been a wonderful half hour for me, and I think for our listeners too. One last time, Claudia McAdam, MCADAM .com. And you can find all of Claudia's books there. And I would really encourage all of our listeners to get into them. Claudia, thanks so much for being with us. God bless you. God bless all of our listeners. And we will be back next time with more Joy of the Gospel.
Thank you so much.